Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. DK Shadow says, don't be fooled by big old socialist titties. No, we want to avoid this. We don't want to be fooled by AOC, but there's a conversation going on about parody accounts, and I think that the left is right on this one. But it's always been, on Twitter, it's always been that the parody accounts were always playing in between parody and deception and misinformation and impersonation. And it's the first time in civilization, you know, it's always been clear when you watch a SNL parody clip, you know it's not the real Donald Trump, you know it's Alec Baldwin, and therefore you're careful because he could shoot you at any time. But the parody on Twitter has always been fooling a lot of people. And today I had someone who posted on the Discord this AOC Press Twitter account, thinking it was real news, because the parody account owners, what they do is they put the parody to fit the rules of Twitter, but they put it at the end of a very long name. And because it's a very long name, it doesn't display in full, so the parody doesn't end up being displayed in your Twitter feed. That's a problem. It's a problem because parody used to be, it had to be of high quality enough that even if I know it's parody, I'm still interested at hearing. But right now we have a parody that has disguised itself as impersonation. And we find ourselves with a very cheap parody. Basically, it's not parody. They're trying to imitate AOC and they're trying to make us believe, a lot of people end up believing, that it's AOC tweeting, and the tweets are made in a realistic way so that they resemble what AOC could say potentially. Anyways, there is a new restaurant concept. I don't know if I'll ever be able to go to that restaurant. It's the Karen Diners. Karen's Diner, with Karen's being in charge of the service. And they are super impolite to the customers because they have to act like a Karen.
This is how they serve our food to us at Karen's Diner. This is how they serve our food to us at Karen's Diner.
Isn't that interesting? They make a restaurant concepts out of anything, and this time they've made it out of the Karen, the evil woman who is always pissed and who is always wanting to report something to the manager. I don't know, the food doesn't seem particularly spectacular, but I guess the experience must be quite special. DK Shadow says these theme things don't have that long of a lifespan. I don't know. You know, the Karen meme, it's we've seen meme coins, but meme restaurants, yeah, I would say they cannot outlast the meme very much. So the Karen meme will probably be very passe within a few years. Barnaby Bruto says, I'm all up for the acting, but the onion ring she took was going too far for me. I mean, the idea is that it's included in the price. I guess they give you more onion rings because they know that one of them will be stolen by the Karen. New guy says, when will Alec Baldwin get his justice? They drop the charges. He's totally innocent. Yeah, I've seen this. Apparently based on novel evidence, or that it was more the fault of the armorer. I've seen justice being more harassing of a potential criminal than they were of Alec Baldwin. I had put my letter for sale on Open Ordex, my letter to humans on gene editing. I've put it up for sales for 50 BTC. But they have disappeared from OpenOrdex, and not just mine. All of the latest listings are disappeared from OpenOrdex. So I don't know what's going on. Perhaps they're converting more to a collection only type of service, or perhaps they are not interested in non-collection material, so they're just interested in these NFT projects with a title and everything. So I've decided to put it up on my website because I want to keep selling it. I'm dreaming of getting that 50 BTC, that $1.3 million in Bitcoin. So Letter to Humans on Gene Editing, I've put it up for sale on my server on jfg.world. I wrote, I've decided to put up my Letter to Humans on Gene Editing for sale at 50 BTC. This considerable sum takes into account the fact that it is the earliest scientific prediction recorded on the BTC blockchain, which tells humanity what is about to happen to them. And I think perhaps in the next 20 years, perhaps there will be a millionaire born out of, out of some meme coin, who will be like, oh yeah, I want to buy this as a luxury. I want to buy this as a record, a historical record. I don't think I will sell it in the short term, but you never know. Over 20 years, there can be all sorts of events happening. There can be reversals. There can be people who become millionaire that didn't expect they would be millionaires. Steven Robinson says, JF, would you sell for 48 BTC? Sure, I would be open to dealing if someone wants to, instead of buying it directly, because you can buy it right now. Like, if someone was to deposit 50 BTC, the transfer would be automatic because it's a partially signed Bitcoin transaction. I've already gave my green light to it. It will get transferred if someone signs it. DK Shadow says, when I make my first $1 billion, I'll consider it. I'm counting on you, DK Shadow. I want you to succeed. Raised Fist says, Jeff, I like you, but you are completely delusional. Ah, you know, call me delusional. It's like, yeah, delusional people do amazing things sometimes. And call me delusional all you want. I have deluded myself into such a happy life. I've deluded myself into getting Jeff Epstein to send me money. Can you believe this? Jeff Epstein, before dying, sent me money. So yeah, it's bizarre. It's weird. But I don't think it's impossible. I've been dreaming of things before in my life, and I made them happen. And so, yes, it's a special kind of people that does this, but I'm the special kind of people. I'm the kind of guy who can be very poor for years, have nothing to show up for his work, and then, boom, create big events that change the world. T.S. Apostolos says, one man's delusion are another's sanity. Blanket says, JF, do you actually agree with AOC on parody, or is that a joke? No, I agree. I've laid out my thinking at the beginning of the show. I'll go more in depth as we dig through the news and as we get to this subject. A pretty base statement by... Oh yeah, Steven Robinson says, Paul, who thinks Jeff Epstein is still alive? There is currently a rumor circulating on Twitter by some... But you know, the very account of iSource TV News, the account that I always say, hey, this guy is publishing fake news. It's always wrong. Now, he has a fake news right now spread on Twitter that claims that Jeff Epstein is alive, that he is part of a witness super protection program that is meant for super VIPs. And I'm like, a program of which country? Israel? Maybe I would believe it. The U.S.? I don't know. If it was the U.S., it would be one of those renegade branches of the CIA or something like this. I think it's very unlikely that he's alive. DK Shadow says, super duper protection program. This is a based post by Tariq Nasheed he was trying to insult Dinesh D'Souza because there's currently the wars are going on about Dinesh D'Souza. There were a bunch of Democrats who were claiming on Twitter a few days ago that the people voting Republicans are stupid. And Dinesh D'Souza pointed out, hey, the lowest IQ category of in the US, we all know who it is, and we all know that they vote extremely Democrat. How does that fit your hypothesis that Republican voters are stupid? Daryl says, can I correct something that was stated on yesterday's show? JFK assassination wasn't on live TV. Okay, but it was filmed. I was reading here the text by Lucas Gage. Thank you for correcting, because I didn't know enough about this story to correct it live. So you're telling me that it wasn't live TV, but it was recorded on a camera, because we've all seen the little movie there. It's all shown on camera. So, okay, not live TV technically. So, yeah, the Democrats were saying that Republican voters are stupid. Dinesh D'Souza came back with the reply, well, what about ethnic categories? And in specificity, an ethnic category that tends to vote for Democrats. And Tariq Nasheed wanted to send some insult back to the Indian-ness of Dinesh D'Souza. And he said, and here's another gentle reminder, Dinesh, of where you were born and raised. Can you show me where foundational Black Americans live like this? And he shows a bidonville of India. Oh my God, the racial onage on Twitter. It is such a victory when you think about it that mainstream personalities like Tariq Nasheed is now sending memes that we would have made about India years ago. It's a victory that race is being de-tabooized, and especially through the conflict that exists now between the various minorities. You know, this is a Black guy who's not woke in the far left sense. He's woke in his very own way, which sometimes kind of does the horseshoe with the right, where his wokeness is so intense that he ends up saying very base things, Tariq Nasheed. And that's why I was greatly admiring of him on his buck breaking documentary. My God, it was a solid take on the LGBT activism toward the Black community being a form of anti-natalist propaganda. Very solid. And now here he's totally going after Dinesh D'Souza. I agree with Tariq Nasheed. Today is my day of agreements with the leftist. I agree with Tariq Nasheed. I agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So she was saying, for your information, there's a fake account on here impersonating me and going viral. The Twitter CEO has engaged it, boosting his visibility. It is releasing false policy statements and gaining spread. I am assessing with my team how to move forward. In the meantime, be careful of what you see. And the problem of this parody account is that this is how it appears, you know, and we don't even see this parenthesis. Personally, I see really just the beginning of it. And so I'm being presented by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. There's some at AOC Press that I see, and there used to be even a blue check mark. And now this person is complaining, they just took my blue check. I'm officially breaking up with Elon Musk. And T.S. Apostolos says, oh, JF, let them have their fun. Well, fun is all good, but fun does not require deception. A good parody writer is fun and interesting to, and a parody actor, a parody skit is fun to watch, fun to hear, even if you know it's parody. So it's always been the case in the history of parody that we have known we were watching parody. Only on Twitter has there been the development of, it's parody, but it's also fake news. And it's fake news and it's impersonation. Blanket says, Jeff, it's clearly a parody and the way she worded it is dumb, gaining spread. Well, gaining spread. The account is gaining spread. The account is gaining popularity. Whether you like her phrasing or not doesn't matter. It is true. So we have an account here that is deceiving an increasing number of people. And we have people even in my community sharing it on Discord. And immediately I saw it within a second. And because I knew, I said, hey, this is a fake account, and I deleted it. We cannot have constant states of deception in our sharing of the news, in what Twitter has become a public space where people interpret what they hear there as being the official statements of people. I'll be delivering more thoughts on this, but give me 1 second. I'll be back. All right, T.S. Apostolos says, Elon and AOC are dating. No. Why is it always about AOC? Probably because she's sexy. There's always a rumor about AOC dating or loving someone. They always make it about her attraction. Ed Kressenstein was saying, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is saying that she may quit Twitter because of Elon Musk's promotion of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez press release parody account. I have a few things I want to say. The name of the account is misleading in that parody is cut off on people's feeds. Parody accounts should be clearly labeled in the username so that no clicks need to be made in order for someone to know it's a parody. Accounts' names should not be able to be longer than the characters displayed on feeds. Elon Musk has the right to do as he chooses, and the account is in fact labeled a parody account, albeit in a slightly misleading way. I doubt there are any serious legal issues here. AOC has the right to do as she chooses, and if that means leaving Twitter, she has every right to do so. Very uninteresting, as always, the Kressenstein brother. But technically correct here. And AOC, what I hope Elon Musk does, and he has already removed the blue check mark, that's one thing. What I hope that Elon Musk does is simply, why wouldn't there be a systematic label of parody on stuff like this? Why wouldn't there be a little orange circle or whatever that says those are parody accounts? That would solve everything, or just make the parody word always displayed in the full name of someone. You make it so that if there's something about parody, if there's the word parody is there, it has to be displayed on the feed. Blanket says, JF, remember, AOC said people who dislike her just want to date her. Oh, okay, so they're doing to her what she did to herself. They are perpetuating her own initial statement. Okay, I didn't remember that one. Rudy Lacid says, the only people who would get fooled by that obvious parody are the boomers who should not be on the internet. It's an IQ filter. Well, the thing is, you never know. The tweets are one by one. So I fully disagree that it's always clear that they are parody. You want us to go check a couple of examples? We can go through it if you'd like. I don't agree that this is obvious parody. In fact, I blocked this account because I always block parody accounts. I just don't want to be misinformed. You know, I want to drive my new Tesla, but I can't find a 10-mile-long extension cord so I can get to work. Okay, that is obvious humor. Today feels like January 6th all over again. I got my blue check my blue check back, you mad bro. Great news, I personally called Twitter headquarters and told them I was going to hold my breath. Okay, so those are all jokes, but there are some where it's not that obvious. There are some where she seems to be making a statement publicly. If we tax citizens at a rate of 80%, we'd easily be able to pay $3 trillion in reparations to transgender. That is obvious parody. Feeling cute, might go to the southern border for another photo shoot. Happy 4th of July to all those celebrating. See, this one doesn't stem as necessarily parodic. And so the ones that are at the border of parody, where it's not evidently readily observable that it's parody, they cause an issue because they get shared a lot. People share them, and therefore the account is rewarded basically for making more deceptive tweets. Wi-Fi money plants. Sometimes he has good takes, but this one I think is bad. He says, "How many girls exist on this planet who would see your red pill thread explaining the true nature of woman and go, oh my God, what a winner. I want him so bad." Exactly. And this is a thing that is so common among the beta males. They think that it's an argument that women would dismiss you. Look, women are the worst judges I've ever known. They are incapable of judging objective reality, and you want me to set my life so that I get the approval of women? Are you fucking insane? I said, beta feminine pleasing argument based on a preconception that pleasing women subjectively is the ultimate goal of life. It is not, and women don't have any access to truth, let alone do they constitute a good guide to set a standard for what is to be loved in life and how you should phrase your things. Of course, women will dismiss a theory that's red pill around woman behavior, but they have no insight on their behavior, and there's no reason why you would listen to them on their own behavior. Silver Spider says, "Jeff, it's not the parody account's fault that AOC is so idiotic that she resembles a parody. It's the perfect evolutionary defense mechanism to being parodied." No, I've heard this argument. It's a bad argument. It's a bad argument because we've seen that there are some tweets where if you were to take them in isolation, they don't look parodic at all. They look like normal statements. Happy 4th of July for those celebrating. That's something a leftist could say. You know, having some kind of anti-war position, wanting to throw some shade at the pro-war, pro-independence people or whatever, or at the kind of American nationalism that is inherent to the 4th of July. That is not the obvious parody that you guys are claiming. So it's a bad argument in my view. Boston shootings and fights at River Beach this weekend. It's hard to see the race of the person being beaten down, but there's someone being beaten down by a crowd of black people. It looks like he may be white. Of collective beating, don't be there. Don't be in those crowds. You will get targeted and people are becoming extremely violent, not getting punished for it. This kind of trampling can totally kill you, by the way, can totally make you handicapped for life. Leftists make accusations of economic terrorism as conservative boycotts succeed. The concept of retail boycotts is far more often addressed among activists on the political left, primarily because they operate under the notion that they are the underdogs fighting against the system. In reality, the political left is the system. When almost every major corporation, every globalist foundation, and every Western government is funding and enforcing your ideology, you are the oppressor, not the oppressed. Definitely, that is correct, and the leftists are losing it on some of the recent successes of the right to, I mean, Target has been going down in value. There are more and more revelations, and the stock value of Target keeps going down. That is good. That doesn't mean we will succeed at crashing Target, but it will launch a message to the future. What's important is that future corporations will know there is now a cost for wokeness, and they will shut it down. Blanket says this would be called racist if this was a bunch of white people doing this to black people. Exactly. And you won't get the racial defense in 2023 in America if you are white. So just be careful. Stay away from these areas. Christina Pusha continues her war with Rahim Kassam. Rahim Kassam, you know, of the National Pulse, I think that's his stuff. He is full on into the war against Ron DeSantis. He's full on, harassing. He is tackling, teasing the Ron DeSantis side. Christina Pusha was saying, because he regrets nothing, he thinks Cuomo did the right thing on COVID. So that was her comment on Donald Trump, saying, under Ron DeSanctimonious as governor, Florida was the third worst state in deaths by COVID. So why do they say that DeSantis did a good job? New York had fewer deaths. Also, he shut down the state and even its beaches, unlike other Republican governors. And she was saying, basically, Trump regrets nothing on his approach to COVID. I cannot believe how lame that is, that we have this massive argument within the Republican Party about who has been doing the experts' bidding properly. Like, who has been cocking more to the left? It always turns like this in the right wing, where our mainstream personalities always end up making a fight, like, about black people. Like, I was better for black people. I was better for black people. No, we did this with black people. And that's the very same thing here happening with the COVID leftist experts. It should be unanimous. It should be consensus on the right that we don't try to please the people who record COVID deaths, because these people have a problem. The fact that COVID death started being a thing is the problem. And so we shouldn't be trying to fight for the Republican Party saying, I got less COVID death than he did, and I've pushed stronger on the vaccine than he did. How is that the right argumenting? Rahim says, you guys are really panicking over this one, huh? Wait until you see what your friends gave to me about you this morning. So, and these threats are absolutely unproductive. I hate it when journalists make threats about, oh, I have information. It's like, if you had information that was so interesting, so punchy, you wouldn't be losing time bragging about it on Twitter. You'd be you'd be rushing writing an article about it so that you can put it up there on your website as quickly as you can. I hate it when journalists do this. It's not, you know, Rahim Kassam is not that bad. I like him sometimes, and sometimes he has very unique articles at the National Post. But this kind of low-level bragging is basically blackmailing. You're telling someone, I want to put you in a state of stress because I know things about you. I know what you did last summer. Blanket says, Jeff, you should be doing, quote, journalist. Oh, well, you know, I don't care about decredibilizing the journalistic industry. I think they're doing it very well. I don't think I need to add the quotation mark for you to understand my level of appreciation of this job. Zero Hedge, and this, I predicted this. Of course, they're going to get a bunch of Republicans potentially voting for the debt ceiling deal. U.S. Republican Rep. Massey says he anticipates voting for the bill suspending the debt ceiling in House Rules Committee. And so they fold. You can have a bunch of pissed off, more like extreme, more right-wing Republican candidates and representatives who will complain about this debt ceiling. The question is, do you have the numbers to team up with the left, with the Democrats, to make it pass? And I'm afraid that they do have the numbers. Dino Logovic says, suspended ceiling, I used to install those. Oh yeah, what about them? Are they good? Well, they, to me, it's like suspended ceilings. It's those things that you can push them and they go away. They are just held by a frame, basically. Quite surprising to me, these suspended ceilings. It's basically not a ceiling. Another way to see it is it's not a ceiling. It's just a display of a ceiling. It's a deceptive ceiling. Rahim was further commenting in the interaction, you can push your troll farm reply guys all you like, but a bit of advice, take a box into the office this week, you'll be packing up. That is further extortion, my friend, Rahim. I mean, respect to him, he follows me on Twitter. Good, you know, good thing. I've never spoken to him. I think he follows me since one of you guys approached him because you wanted him to talk about the revolutionary phenotype. And I think he follows me since that moment. But yeah, I mean, it's not the function of a journalist to be doing extortion. The problem is here, you are acting like the ADL for Trump right now. You are one of these journalists who are trying to use the information that they may have or may not have, or you know, labeling of the opponent that they may do or may not do, in order to induce a state of distress and saying you're going to lose your job. Threatening someone to lose their job is extortion. It is intentional inducement of emotional distress, and it shouldn't be your role. You should just be putting it out there. If you have dirt on her, I'll be happy to cover it. I'll be happy to read about it. And I'm totally against Christina Pusha. She is the main reason why I had to give up DeSantis. You can't root for DeSantis anymore with Christina Pusha by his side. She's one of these internationalist agents who subvert American politics and to very, very bad sets of interest. So I'm very worried if Ron DeSantis got the nomination by her side. Groom and Doom, Target shares mark longest losing streak in almost 5 years. 12.8 billion reasons to rethink hiring and marketing practices. Let's have a look at the value. So we were at 160 $162 on the 17th of May. 2 weeks later, we are at $133, and it doesn't seem that the bleeding is stopping. Isn't that beautiful? Blanket says, JF, if Ron got rid of Christina, would you support him again? It depends on the kind of getting rid. If he just got rid of her saying, oh, you know, she's been phrasing stuff a little bit in the way we disagree. Well, she's not a good image for the campaign anymore. I'm getting rid of her. No. If he was to say, no, no, we discovered that she was an agent of the globalist. If he was to do some kind of Alex Jones style announcement, we discovered she was a total stooge for the globalist. Fuck her. Maybe I would consider going back to Ron DeSantis, but no, I think that she's there for a reason. Whether he fires her or not is whether he can sustain the shame, if you will, sustain the problem that she causes for the campaign. That's an independent question from whether he deeply wants people like her around him. And I think deeply he wants people like her around him. So a mere firing would not be enough to convince me. Trans people will always exist. T-shirts at Target. LGBT tuck-friendly construction. So they can be tucked. Extra crotch coverage. So are these extra crotch coverage in the sense of it can take a penis where there should be no penis? Is that what we're being told here? That's the tuck-friendly label that that Alex Stein, of course, was mocking in his satirical performance of in Target. Blanket says, that would be the funniest thing if Ron got Alex Jones to get rid of Christina. Yeah, but it's like, place that in your dream folder, dreams that will never be realized. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. If you want to see the dollar button, you'll have to add a payment method in your Odyssey account. Or alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Or if you have a little extra money, you can buy my letter to humans on gene editing for 50 BTC. $1.3 million. Dino Logovich says, JF, will Ron introduce pens into Florida, or will people need to leave the state to sign legal documents? What is this question? Pen in Florida? You cannot sign legal documents in Florida? What does that mean? Is that some kind of joke that I don't understand because it relies on some subtle definition of the English language or something like this? I have no idea. Wibble says, as JF mentioned, the RFK Jr. clip of him supporting Ukraine. I didn't know this. I tended to see him as a very anti-establishment candidate. RFK Jr. Supporting Ukraine, you say. Let me try to see if
I talk about the war in Ukraine. And we need to have a national conversation about this war. We need to have a mature conversation that allows for nuance and that allows for complexity, and we need to do it respectfully. We can't be telling one side that they're Nazis and the other side that they love Putin. Everybody in this country loves our country, and we have to respect differences of opinion, and we have to respect the people's capacity to ask questions. And you know, some of the issues that we need to talk about is, number one, is this war in the U.S. national interest? We just need to isolate that question. Is it in the U.S. national interest? And there are, you know, some of the leading panegyrists of most respected people of our national diplomats, let's say, Henry Kissinger, Jack Matlock, Larry Wilkinson, who's, you know, a...
You know, there is the handicap of the voice defect of RFK, but there's also the fact that he's not doing his best to have less words in his expression. You know, this whole parenthesis that he opened here, bar it from the discourse. You should be clippable on a 2 seconds basis, basically, because your voice is annoying. People can't listen to it very long. So what I would like to see from RFK here, I would like to see him arrive at the mic and say, we will stop these wars in which America has no national interest. And we've been lied to. It's been made to the people. It's been represented to the people that it wasn't our national interest. It's not. Like, give us a fucking pause, man. Your voice sucks. It sucks terribly. It's not. And you could phrase your sentences in so few words.
Colin Powell's chief of staff.
Puzim says, I'd say his voice, if defect, gives him a trustable aura. It's possible, because that's what they did with Fetterman, you know. The Democrats are willing to say, I'm going to vote more for someone who is weak, who has been the victim of injustice. So it's possible that it gives him positive points, actually, on the Democrat side. He's trying to pull a Fetterman. Dinologovich sends a super chat. He says, JF, Ron DeSantis flew to Israel to sign some legislation. Why doesn't the Florida government have pens anymore? Ah, okay. You were referring to this. Okay. That is quite funny, the idea that he went to Israel because there were no more pens in Florida. Yeah, but he didn't go to Israel because there were no more pens, let me tell you. He went to Israel because he wanted to signal his readiness to take over the Republican Party. What we're seeing is a very special moment where the Jewish elite thinks that they can take back the Republican Party and they want to do it now. Not necessarily because they think they're going to win against Biden, because they control Biden very much. But I think that what the Jews are thinking right now is one day we will lose control of the Democrat Party. And that day we don't want the inheritance of Trump to have subsumed the entire Republican Party. We want to keep the Republican Party controllable. And Ron DeSantis is precisely this Trojan horse that they intend to use to take the Republican Party and put it back under control. Even if it is to lose against Biden, at least the legacy of Donald Trump will be behind and we can look at it from something from the past, and then the elites can again control the two parties. That is, I think, what's happening right now. Breaking Zero Hedge article drops article on Coach Red Pill. Okay, maybe we can take a break of the RFK voice and see what is this article about Coach Red Pill. Yeah, I mean, this I've seen. It's not news to me because I've seen it yesterday, but we can talk about it. I thought it wasn't that much of an important news item that I would talk about it, but it's true that everything concerning Coach is important. It's that the State Department refused to comment. the journalist basically says, there's this guy, Gonzalo Lira. He's an American citizen. I wasn't sure whether he was an American citizen. So he says he's an American citizen and he's been kind of pro-Putin in the war zone. What do you think about the fact that we are cooperating with a Ukrainian government, which is now stifling free speech of this guy, and will you save him? And the State Department says, we're aware of the situation. Our general statement is that we advocate for free speech all over the world, and no further comment. That's what he said. So people took it bad. They said, oh, they're going to let Gonzalo Lira, rot in jail. I think it's as good as you could expect what the State Department has said. It means that they are probably in negotiation that they don't want to undermine. The fact that they stood for free speech here is a strong signal that the U.S. government will not accept and will not let it happen that their collaborator here is oppressing an American citizen and oppressing him for strictly speech, basically, because that's all Coach Red Pill has been doing. So I think that this non-response and this refusal to comment further is actually more positive than a lot of people have interpreted it. I believe that we may very well have a deportation of Coach Red Pill against his will toward the U.S., arranged by the U.S. government, basically, who would go to Zelensky and say, look, we don't want anything close to speech oppression here. We know that this guy is causing trouble to you because he's on the front line. Just send it to us. Just send it on American territory. And then he's just going to be one of the millions of American commentators on Twitter. And then you don't care, right? So I think that would be a very good outcome for Coach Red Pill. I think it might happen. We'll see. It's an exciting story that Coach Red Pill put himself at the heart of. Half-hearted sends $10. He says, Jeff, I'd be interested to hear your opinion on this Felix Rex / Black Pigeon Speaks video suggesting human DNA is engineered. Someone sent me this video today. It's a video. I don't know. They say it's a new video. I've already commented on this theory by Felix Rex. Maybe it's an updated video. Maybe it's a republish. I don't know. Let's look at it quickly. Couple of segments
of the current year. A good example of this is Harvard professor Robert Putnam and the conclusions that his research came to as a species, not on the more socially loaded question about human groups that are taboo. That now, this video has to, for the sake of brevity, discuss a few things, including chromosomes and DNA model, and disregarding data that doesn't. Forebears may have arisen in Europe before migrating. A politicized one where evidence, truth, and not meant to challenge the Darwinian theory of evolution. I think in many ways it doing so by quoting Lloyd Pye's book, the however carry 23 from each parent for a total of 46. How is this mathematically possible? Well, it isn't, because we didn't actually lose them. The second and third losing two full chromosomes from our genome, it has stayed 97% the same as in chimps and 95% the same as in gorillas. How is this mathematically possible?
Oh my God, Felix. I had spoken out, I had published a full response to your old video, and you're still holding these false beliefs today. The reason it's mathematically possible that we are still 97% similar to chimpanzees and yet that a whole chromosome is gone is that this whole chromosome is not gone. It has replugged itself in an inverted fashion onto one of our chromosomes. Dino Logovich says, I call chromosome 2 chromosome 23.5, like the tilt of the earth to the ecliptic. It was aliens or gods, take your pick. No. Why would God connect it in reverse? The chromosome effectively was made useless by being connected in reverse into our other chromosome. So no, we are similar, but because we still have the same segments of DNA, but they're connected together. That's how it's possible to have 97% similarity while having not the same number of chromosomes.
Well, it isn't, because we didn't.
Yes, it is. I just explained why.
We didn't actually lose them. The second and third chromosomes in higher primates are, in humans, fused together.
Well, there you go. So what's the problem?
And this fused together chromosome is the number two chromosome in humans. This is an enormous and critical difference. So how could such an oddity have occurred?
Well, repair mechanisms exist that constantly try to fix errors, fix connections in the genome. We have crossover mechanisms that try to grab a part of the genome of the female, mix it in with the part of the genome of the male. So these mechanisms, suffice that they, instead of grabbing the opposing side of the chromosome, they end up grabbing chromosome 3. And boom, you got your error, you got your accident. A mechanism of that was meant for repair or crossover, grabbing the wrong side of the chromosome and grabbing another chromosome instead.
Well, mainstream scientists insist that nature is fully capable of creating such a fusion by means of a mutation.
Exactly. I mean, most of us wouldn't call it a mutation, but it's a mutation in the end. It falls in the broad category of mutations.
Called a Robertsonian translocation, which can combine
exactly
chromosomes end to end to somehow make them function. Well,
no, they don't have to function. The connection just has to happen. And then what's happening is your child is retarded. Your child is retarded for a long time. But somehow, it was a special kind of retardation. And it was a retardation that wasn't so critical in that particular spot of the jungle where it happened. And somehow this retardation opened the doors of non-retardations at levels that we had never thought of were possible before. Does that make sense? Yes.
In a radically new configuration, it might be added.
What Felix has to understand is that once connected like this, this chromosome, this reconnected chromosome, does not have to be operating. It could be an empty contribution to your genome for a million years after this, because there's none of the original genes will make sense because they're in inverted sense. So what probably happened is that in the original ancestor, there was not a single gene expressed from the inverted chromosome 2 part from the apes.
They further insist this profound mutated higher primate.
Go away, says, so we are all the descendants of a retard. That's your mind on atheism, I guess. We are the descendant of so many retards, like a chain of retardation, my friend. It doesn't stop. Can you imagine how retarded a frog is? Well, you have frog-like ancestors or something like this. Salamander-like ancestor, perhaps.
Individual could then somehow grow from a single mutated cell with normal cell division all the way to birth and then onward to reach puberty. After that, they presume it finds an unaffected mate and reproduces, thereby inserting the new fused chromosome into the higher primate gene pool.
Which always happens because there's always crossover. So if that even happened once, it would eventually spread to many individuals because the crossover is a mechanism that takes a tip of your chromosome changes it from the female to the male side. So through the crossover, genes are not stuck with the line of descent that they belong to. They can be exchanged across lines of descent.
Cool. As a radical mutation that will gradually disperse. In the real world of humans and higher primates, a human higher primate sperm egg combination cannot and never will work.
Absolutely, it will work thanks to crossover and thanks to the fact that at first, this part of chromosome 2 has no function. So you can have a disbalanced chromosome 2. You can have an individual that has only one copy of the new and one copy of the ancient form of the chromosome. That's perfectly fine. Worst case scenario, what you have is someone with trisomy, someone with a set of genetic disorders that completely changed his appearance, his functionality, but that can survive. And someone survived with this somehow.
No human has ever mated with a higher primate to produce viable offspring.
Well, of course, because it's not what happened. What happened 7 million years ago was not a human fucking a chimpanzee. It was a chimpanzee fucking a chimpanzee, but one of them was retarded.
The truth is that the only way such a massive change could occur among the higher primate and then be successfully passed on to create a new line, if you will, is if the Robertsonian translocation happened in exactly the same way to two different...
No, I told you this 5 years ago, Felix. Told you this in my video response to you. Because of the crossover, it doesn't have to happen twice. Life has its way of translocating a gene from one line of descent to another. So the crossover comes in, or there's even other repair mechanism that can come in. There are repair mechanisms that look on one side of the chromosome, and they say, I'm going to copy whatever this is to the other side of the chromosome. So you have a chromosome from your father, a chromosome from your mother. They don't look exactly the same. In fact, they're very different. There are little molecular machines that will say, all right, this must be an error. I'm going to copy the other side here. Now, we typically have this on single letters of DNA because two healthy humans today will have very little differences in letters of DNA on both sides of the same chromosome. But this machine won't stop. I mean, if it finds 100,000 errors, it will fix 100,000 differences. That way it can reconstruct from the chromosome that was accidentally Robertsonian transmutation connected to chromosome 2. It can create the second copy on the other side, and boom. You didn't have two events, but you have two genomes now that are like this, and make it happen on an event of reproduction then, and it can happen a third and fourth time. These mechanisms, they still operate today. Crossover, repair mechanism operate all the time inside our own generations today.
Individuals, a male and a female, at virtually the exact same time.
DK Shadow says, crossover is like a Bitcoin tumbler. Brilliant analogy. It's exactly what it is. And the goal is what it is. Like, you pass through a Bitcoin tumbler because you don't want the history of your Bitcoins in the past to be attached to the history of your Bitcoins in the future. That's exactly what crossover is. It's like, this gene might be good on its own. I don't want this gene to be attached to the whole of the rest of the chromosome. So sometimes I will mix. Sometimes I will take one piece of chromosome here, plug it to this one, switch them. Go away, says JF. People with sub 70 IQ have more sex than people with 130 plus IQ, which proves your point entirely. The future isn't female. It's retarded. Yeah. Been saying it since 1995.
Time. In addition, those two individuals had to live in the same general geographic area.
False.
They both had to survive to breeding age, Then they both had to find each other without
fouls.
Without knowing, they carried a game-changing mutation and then mate to have offspring that could propagate the mutation. Once the offspring were born, they must live long enough to find similarly mutated mates, which at first means to mate with mutated siblings. Now, in order for the mainstream scientific consensus to maintain their genetic model of human evolution, they must convince us, the public, that the particular Robertsonian translocation that we have, we humans have, the 23 chromosome mutation that we have, was not fatal to the first individual that initiated.
Well, you're alive and you have it. So it's not fatal. There's your answer.
And this is why they avoid discussing these issues in open forums.
I'm totally in for discussing these issues, but you just got it wrong, my friend. You got it wrong, and I respect your... I like you as a creator, but that is just not how it works. You are mistaken in believing that the mutation has to happen twice. We have plenty of mechanisms in our body. I named the two. We have plenty of mechanism to redouble on an existing erroneous mutation, to basically double down on it and copy it on the other side. That is just the wonders of sexual reproduction. But I was busy before I got into that parenthesis. I was busy listening to RFK because someone told me, Jeff, RFK's position on Ukraine. Well, up to now, we've heard some... I mean, that's enough to worry me, what we've heard. Because RFK is saying, oh, it's complex, and we have to allow complexity. And the problem is, whenever you allow complexity, there's place for war. You know, we've had people... America will always be at war until it has a president that says... No fucking war. There will be no fucking war, no fucking dropping of bombs by planes, no strikes, no missiles, no nothing. There will be no war under my presidency. If you don't hear this from a candidate, you're going to be at war. That's just what America is. So what I hear from RFK up to now, and now he sends me a clip that is shorter, so it's a 1-minute version. Perhaps it's more focused. Let's listen to it.
I want to say that we are in the Ukraine for all the right reasons. We are there because we are...
That is worrying. We're not there for the right reason. We are there to sustain a aristocratic class of Jews in Ukraine that have taken over the funding that America gives them, that is not transparent about it. So we have no idea what this funding is going through, but we can kind of guess that Zelensky is going to come out of this a billionaire. That's what we're doing in Ukraine.
We are a good people. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln said America is a great nation because we're a good nation. And we continue to be a good people. And we are there because of our compassion for the Ukrainian people who have been brutalized, who have been illegally invaded, and have shown extraordinary valor and courage defending their country and defending, you know, their families and their beliefs and their liberties and their independence, things that Americans have to admire. My own son, Connor, I'm very, very proud that Connor...
Oh, no, don't tell me he has a son in the army. That will make you lose all rationality.
Join the Foreign Legion.
Oh, my fucking God. They have all of them. They have... The people who end up in politics, they always have a son that they sacrifice to the military somehow.
And fought in the Ukraine during the Kharkiv offensive as a machine gunner for a special...
Oh, holy shit, he has a son. The son was at the front line. Holy shit, that is not good, my friend.
Forces group.
Yes!
Yeah, so I can see from this clip that he's not standing strong for... I can see also from the context of the longer clip we were watching before that he's saying it's complex and everything, but to me that is a support for war. It's enough support for war that I cannot support RFK. So my answer about RFK has always been that I liked him, that he was anti-system, that I was enjoying his position on medical liberty, that it was a good thing he was showing up on the side of the Democrats. My answer going forward will be he is a creature of the system, and I'm not enthusiastic at all about him. No, I mean, they keep disappointing me, but it's not like I'm super surprised. These people don't end up in the position of soliciting this position, this nomination, without having massive sets of networking and interest ties and all this. So even if he was an anti-system type of guy in his personality, if in the end he supports the Ukraine war in that way and he's even personally and family involved in it, fuck this guy. Go Away says, George Washington came out of the Revolutionary War a billionaire too. So what? In a just world, the hero gets rich. Hell, Zelensky could be an IRL Batman if he becomes a billionaire. I'm down for that. I wouldn't have an issue if Zelensky was a self-funded warlord and he was defending his population and his population loved him for that and they were rewarding him with all of the economic success that they would have going forward. That would be one thing. But Zelensky is going to become a billionaire out of American funding. It's money taken from the productive American taxpayer and given to Zelensky. That is not okay for me. Your analogy is very poor. Bad news, I am no longer beautiful. This evening when walking home, I passed a young guy arguing with, I presume, his girlfriend in Clarendon. He starts getting violent with her, pushing her around, and trying to rip off her clothes. I intervene and got the shit beat out of me. No way, bro. Don't do this stuff. Holy shit. I love that we don't get a description of the young guy in question. Wow. Yeah, don't fight for someone who doesn't ask for help. And even if they ask for help, sometimes just don't fight. But certainly don't go try to protect a woman with whom you're not going to have any reproductive success. You're not going to save her and get her out of the relationship and then offer her a... Back in the days, maybe, like... If you were to find a way 200 years ago or 1,000 years ago to eliminate this guy, get the girl without condoms and everything, and you invite her in your place, there could be a baby stemming out from this interaction within 30 days. But in the current world, you're never going to get a shot at this girl. If anything, she's going to hate you for having intervened. Don't try to save anyone, but certainly don't try to save someone who is not available for reproduction. What the fuck? Jenna Ellis says, shorter, Trump never did anything wrong, wasn't responsible for anything, and wasn't in control of anything. Everyone played him, but next time will be different. So the anti-Trump wars are continuing, and here with Jenna Ellis. Holy shit. Jenna Ellis, wasn't she the lawyer of Trump, the legal representative to some extent in this whole quest about election fraud. At some point, she was standing with Trump on his election fraud claims. Wow. Jenna Ellis going after Raheem Kassam. There is a takeover of the Republican Party, and the friction is very high. There's lots of friction because I believe that at this point, the camps that have been bought, we still don't know exactly who they are, but they're showing themselves up in this conflict. So it seems that Raheem Kassam wasn't bought by the Republican takeover guys. It seems that people like Ron DeSantis, Christina Pusha, Jenna Ellis, it seems that they've been bought. It seems that they have chosen their camp and it will be anti-Trump. Wow, wow, wow. NVIDIA joins the $1 trillion club. Will it last? Chipmaker NVIDIA is now worth nearly as much as Amazon. America's largest semiconductor company has vaulted past the $1 trillion market capitalization mark. NVIDIA right here. Wow, above Tesla, above Meta, close to Amazon, still below Alphabet, Google, Aramco, what the fuck is this? Microsoft and Apple. I still can't believe that Apple is that big. Well, 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 $1.02 trillion. I'm very happy for NVIDIA because NVIDIA is a real thing. NVIDIA is pushing forward with modeling, computing, 3D, games. NVIDIA has imposed itself as a necessary component of a high-end computer, and therefore, respect to them. Aramco is Saudi oil, right? Okay, I didn't know, so that would be understandable that they are big. Cozy.tv announcement. Today, we are reaching out to address a matter of importance that affects the overall experience of our platform. So Cozy is saying that they have understood that conflicts between the streamers were starting to annoy the community, that the streams were becoming extremely specialized, and it was all about this guy hating this other guy, and this guy betrayed this guy, and blah, 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 blah. And they are now making a rule against intra-Cozy conflict. It's not like it will be a super strong rule. They will discourage the streamers to attacking between each other. And they will give a couple of warnings. And then they might ban someone if they continue repeatedly to engage in intra-Cozy conflict. Well, that is interesting. I don't know what to think about it. I think that definitely, I'm not interested in those private platforms. It's too much of people fighting for the same pool. And it becomes this kind of drama-based kind of stuff. It kind of lacks engagement with the outside. I prefer to build a fair platform, but on a fair platform like Odyssey or like YouTube used to be, you know, one way of escalating is to attack other YouTubers. One way of escalating is to show that some other YouTuber is wrong, like I did with Kraut and T. So in a way, it kind of removes the possibility of strong disagreements developing into kind of total war. But as long as they can intellectually disagree, I think it's fine. Basically, they have outlawed drama, but they don't outlaw the disagreements that could happen on some political things. So I think it's fine. Cozy will keep attracting only the exact same crowd, and that crowd will just slowly diminish. And it's becoming so specialized and it's very hard to get people outside of the dynamic to come inside. So I think it's a good decision that they have done because drama of that kind does tend to concentrate with the very hyper-focused people who are truly interested in this kind of stuff or interested in the particular streamer involved in the drama. but it doesn't help crowd expansion. DeSantis spokes splits with Ron DeSantis, endorses Depp deal. Governor Ron DeSantis never backed down PAC spokesman Steve Cortez has split with the newly minted presidential candidate over the McCarthy-Biden-Depp deal looming over Congress. DeSantis tweeted on Sunday, "Our country is careening toward bankruptcy, and after this debt ceiling deal, it will still be careening toward bankruptcy. The deal greenlights $4 trillion in new debt over the next year and a half, locks in inflated levels of spending from COVID, and keeps 98% of the Biden IRS expansion." So you can see that there are people around the Ron DeSantis machine who are so much with the system. It's almost nonsense that they would gather around Ron DeSantis if it wasn't that Ron DeSantis is a Trojan horse, that he's a trap for the Republicans. Now he leaves him because, of course, he cannot. This guy apparently is so much with the machine that he wants an extension of the debt ceiling. New guy says DeSantis is pushing these lies. What lies? That's a nice reading of what the deal was. What's a lie in there? Let me know. I don't know about the numbers, but it seems like a fair representation of what this debt ceiling deal is doing. Max Kaiser says hash rate is more important to follow than price. The price is mathematically guaranteed to keep going up with the rising hash rate. Hash rate is a proxy on how bad the fiat world and gold are doing against Bitcoin. Hash rate tells you that more energy keeps pouring into the network, no matter what price BTC happens to trade for. El Salvador will soon announce 420 megawatts of BTC mining hash power with another 1,000 on tap. Look at this, the Bitcoin hash rate. And much of this is due to ordinals. And someone shared this article and asked, what do I think about ordinals? I am a huge fan of ordinals. I think most of the community is crap. These BRC tokens, I've taken none of them. I don't care about them. But I think that ordinals have a function. And I think it's a very unique thing to be able to send a message to the future that may survive multiple generations, multiple corporations, you know, falling and rising. Amazon could be dead by the time my letter on ordinals is still available to the public. That is what I like about ordinals. And, you know, I love it if artists can see the same potential that I see. Personally, it's more as a writer, but an artist could also put actual art on there rather than these crap apes and that kind of stuff. Of course, all of it is scammy and bad, and I would recommend against getting involved in too much of this. Don't get involved in any of this at any high price. Like, don't buy the next Ape NFT at 0.2 BTC. That is ridiculous because you have no idea what the value of it will be, and it will likely be lower. Likely, you are the target audience and the target BTC that they want to take. Likely, there is not more BTC coming to you down the line. But if you engage with this community, with the fun of it and the fun of A, you can generate your own inscriptions. Why don't you put your chicken wing recipe for sauce on Bitcoin? Put your family recipes on Bitcoin. Maybe if you want to make a deal with someone and you want to record the contract publicly, maybe put it on the Bitcoin blockchain. That kind of use, I think, is currently under-evaluated, underrated, and it is going to be awesome. Yes, the community is toxic. The BRC20 is scammy. The ape JPEGs suck. But I love that There is demand for the Bitcoin blockchain. People are fighting to be taken in, and they're willing to pay a lot of money at this point. You know, the fees have gotten down a little bit, but at some point, I think they reach $8, $10, $20, and even more for the inscriptions. So basically, it means what the Bitcoin, what the permanence of the Bitcoin blockchain offers is a beautiful natural resources that was untapped by the old Bitcoin, and now it is totally, everything can happen under the new Bitcoin with Taproot and those ordinals. Go away, says Jeff. If I buy your letter to the future for 50 BTC and destroy it, will you honor the sell by not creating a new version? I don't think you can destroy an ordinal. So good luck trying. That being said, if someone was paying 50 BTC, I would have nothing. I would certainly not republish it. Look, if someone buys it 50 BTC, it's yours. It's truly yours, and I will highly respect your ownership of it. And if I can help prove your ownership in any way, like if you're in court and you need an affidavit from me, I will sign it that says it's your letter now. I'm the author of the letter, but it's your letter. That being said, I don't think you can delete an ordinal, because the ordinal has been recorded in the public record. Unless future versions of the Bitcoin blockchain come where prunability becomes a thing, which is what a lot of people are asking in the community. But I think if you allow prunability of the ordinals, they will lose much of their value. Because people, that's what they want to pay for. They want to pay for to be in the chain of existence forever. That's what makes it so much more attractive than many NFTs on the ETH blockchain, which are just links to an IPFS blockchain. The IPFS blockchain is hosting the files separately. The IPFS blockchain may not be sustainable. The IPFS blockchain may one day disappear. But if you're in the real Bitcoin blockchain, you are in the chain of information that constitutes the only way at any point in time to determine that the true 21 million Bitcoin were transferred and fairly. See, you are in that chain of information that is absolutely needed to generate the chain of hash that leads you to the current state of the blockchain. Rodilacid says, can you rewrite over it? I think any correction will only be as a new inscription, not overwriting. Yeah, for now, I don't think there's any mechanism for rewriting. What they are developing is kind of a JSON encoded approach where you would call a function. Basically, you would create another ordinal that says, I cancel this past ordinal. But the past ordinal would still be equally accessible to anyone. But there are certain programs that will decide to respect the cancellation, the second inscription, if you will. But yeah, I don't think there is any way, because they've been included in the block. So anyone who goes back to that block will be able to see what was in it. Go away, says them. My plan to destroy the world by erasing JF's letter is thwarted. Well, maybe I shouldn't have told you. Maybe I should have told you, go ahead, go away, buy it. Buy my letter and destroy it. I will let you do it. There will be a reckoning, Freedom Caucus livid over McCarthy debt deal. Well, again, the most right-wing members of the Republican Party may be offended, but I'm afraid that they don't have leverage. I'm afraid that their party has been taken over by leftist forces already. Look at Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz standing against the Ugandan anti-homosexuality law. That is the state of the right. They are doing the work of the left at this point. Jenna, not sure why you're defending this barbaric Ugandan law. It imposes life imprisonment for consenting adults who engage in gay sex. That's ridiculous. You or I may not agree with their choices, but consenting adults should not go to jail for what they do in their blah, blah, blah. I said, stop trying to imperialistically export U.S. leftism to other cultures. In the West, we have imprisoned and fined people for not wearing a medical device on their face against their consent. And heterosexual fathers have no parental rights. We have no lessons to give. We absolutely have zero lessons to give. Let alternative societies do whatever they want. Because in the end, even in our supposedly system with balances and checks and balances, we cannot defend basic rights like fathers' rights. So fuck your interventionism in Uganda here. And that's not even to start talking about what we do when we're at war. That's even worse. And that is this: drone strikes in capital bring Ukraine war to Russia. I found hilarious the way CNN was covering it on their front page. I don't know if it will still be there. Let me try to see. Yeah, it's gone. I knew it would be gone because it was so ridiculous that I knew they would get criticized for it. But they had titled on their front page for the strike that are happening in Moscow, you know, by drones dropping bombs on Moscow. They had titled something like the attacks on Moscow are bringing the war to a bunch of privileged Russian people who are not used to these sites. And they were trying to sell the war to the leftists. Like, do you realize that this is a big move that Zelensky is doing here, striking at the heart of Moscow? You're going to have the privileged Russian people of the elite. They're going to feel what the war is, really. And they were bragging that the bombs were dropped in rich neighborhoods. It's like, it's cruel and it's celebrating violence. It was pretty dirty. Anyways, it was fun to see that CNN really is very enthusiastic about selling war, selling violence to the anti-capitalist leftists. And weirdly, are trying basically to sell an anti-Russian position, where Russian is barely capitalism. You know, Russia is very much state-controlled. They're trying to sell the war against Russia as a form of anti-white privilege position. Benny Johnson says, breaking, after we expose Target for using kids' mannequins to sell Pride merch and other sexualized items, a whistleblower sent us this internal Target guidance ordering the removal of kids' mannequins, groomers' satanic swag, and dismantling the Pride display in the children's section. You had all of this? Holy shit. Okay, so they are making a transition. So those are the order to the employees. Complete Pride product inventory removals as per direction. Reflow remaining Pride merchandise as outlined in the following communication. Update fixture block to support remerchandising directions by moving unused fixtures to another floor pad or the back room. Consolidate Pride collection as sell-through occurs and begin incorporating adjacent brand, Wild Fable or Universal Thread, tees, tanks, and shorts. So basically, brands that are associated with LGBT, but they're not labeled as LGBT. Styling. Style mannequins in one-piece dressing, dresses, overall slash romper. Highlight checkboard print and Pride palette, and move the kids' mannequins back to the kids' floor pad. Oh, very nice here in bold. Very nice, a statement in bold that we have to move back the kids' mannequin to the kids' section. So you had basically, you had moved the kids' mannequin to the LGBT section for this campaign. We have a captive audience, Boston University, to require students take social justice writing course. Oh my God. I mean, yes, it's going to happen. I mean, the university is being taken over by a bunch of humanities professor that don't even care about the value of the university long term. So you're going to have even the art sciences are going to fall for this. And eventually going to the university will really be acknowledged and known socially to be a total loss of time. McCarthy threatens to hold FBI director in contempt over stonewalled Biden evidence. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Tuesday threatened to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt if the agency continues to shelter the Biden family from congressional investigators seeking key documents. Okay. Sunny Hostin is upset white women fall in line with their husbands who love them rather than with leftists like Hostin.
I have a similar theory, and it's borne out when you look at the studies and when you read books like it's a book that came out a long time ago about she owned property as well, meaning white women owned slaves as well.
Whoa. I mean, I realize that with these leftists, you have to listen to every word because we were talking about women and suddenly they were owning slaves. I'm missing some information here in between. What led to the white woman of today owning slaves?
I have a similar theory, and it's borne out when you look at the studies and when you read books like it's a book that came out a long time ago about she.
Oh, okay, books about the past. So in the past,
she owned property as well, meaning white women owned slaves. Book that came out a long time ago about she owned property as well.
Okay, so there is a book about a woman who once owned property as well. Okay.
Well, meaning white women owned slaves as well.
Okay, so there was one white woman, slave master, but you don't want to say it that way. You want to say it in a way that suggests the plural. So you say, so there were white woman owned slaves. But it's singular. It's singular because it's an example from a book that you've read.
It's a book that came out a long time ago about she owned property as well, meaning white women owned slaves as well. I think that women, white women in particular, want to protect the patriarchy here because it's to their benefit. Yeah. They want to make sure that their husbands do well. They want to make sure that their sons do well. They want to make sure that their children do well.
Yeah, and as long as this happens, I mean, it barely happens anymore. If we could maintain what she describes, we would have a system of meritocracy and an incentive for a woman to choose proper husband. But if you make the state the main determinant of the lifestyle of your children and the main controller of the lifestyle of your children, then the choice of your husband doesn't matter anymore because it's going to end up in a divorce. You're going to end up making false allegations about him and you're going to end up with the children. And that is a very sad world because it's a world in which you have no more gate, evolutionary gate on decency. You have no more pressure in female choice for decent husbands. Not even performant husband on any measure, nor violence, nor social decency, nor social success, nor wealth. Nothing. And so you end up with a society of polygamous state bitches, which is absolutely horrible, the worst possible society you can think of. I tell you, Austin, if this society is what America becomes, you'll want to travel back to Africa. You'll want it because it will be better there.
Well, and they want to make sure that they do well. Most of the women in some of these studies are...
You know, criticizing white women for wanting their husband to do well and wanting their children to do well and wanting themselves to do well. We have... I mean, this is the attack on the meritocracy right there.
Married white women, and they do fall in line with what their husbands are doing, what their
And you can't establish such a link with any man, which is why you resent her. Because you are this independent woman, strong woman. But in the end, what determines the quality of your child's education is no more the quality of the male you have chosen. It's the quality that you can ensure the public school can maintain wherever it is or whatever private school you send your child to. But you are no more tied to the quality of your own choices. And that's what frustrates you, that there are some women who choose to be tied and responsible in regard to their mate choices.
The continued Cuomo support among women, female voters, or Bill Clinton support.
Holy shit. These women are far gone. They consider that Cuomo is an instance of someone who should have been canceled more than he was. They say, I can't believe that there are still people supporting Cuomo. Now, Cuomo, the allegations are that he became creepily kind of a father-like figure for one of his female employees. Tried to fix her mental issues in some weird ways. We're not even talking about rape, about sexual assault. We're talking about there was something weird and it looks like he may have invited her like to the family Thanksgiving dinner in a kind of a creepy way that kind of gave creepy vibes. That's the worst I've heard about Cuomo. And somehow, these women are saying, I can't believe that females are still supporting him. Well, basically, you want females to coordinate the social canceling of men on any basis if you want Cuomo to be canceled that much.
I think the part of that... Oh, thank you. That's nice.
I have I think
part of that is to Joy's position. They think that those the policies of, let's say, a Clinton is going to...
Yes.
Is in line with their policies. I think with white female Republicans, you have a Republican Party that is taking away your health right to decide for yourself. You have all of these things.
There's an actual quote in this article, one of the people interviewed, who says, I think Trump's an idiot. I hate him as a person.
Jeez.
But I'm concerned about the economy. I can barely afford to live. I went to college. I have a degree. No, but my family are these people where if your 401k went down by...
Okay, well, complete divagation after this. What the fuck is this girl wearing? She could be so beautiful if she was to wear a better outfit. It looks like she's wearing a poncho. And yet you can see that it's kind of a stylish shirt that she's wearing. But it looks like a poncho because it inflates hair. Absolutely disgusting. Major drone attack on Moscow damages several apartment buildings. I've already covered this. What else do we have before we close? Oh yeah, Aaron McIntyre is criticizing the softness of the conservative movement. He says the greatest threat to America is the political containment masquerading as establishment conservatism. So this is an example of the National Review coming out today with sometimes a onesie is just a onesie. But bro, you cannot say this in front of this shirt. This shirt is full-blown propaganda that heavily emphasizes a multiracial, multi-gender view of the world. You cannot say this is just a shirt. This is just a onesie. And yet, he says, or how I became a villain in the culture war. He's telling the story that I don't have a problem with this. If somebody wants to dress their baby in a pride onesie, why should it matter? We're not talking about transitioning minors here. It's just a shirt. It's nothing is just a shirt. It's a statement of political beliefs. You give that to a child who goes to school? This political belief is competing with what? Well, the guy who comes with a MAGA hat gets banned from the school. The guy who comes from an explicit support for Trump gets banned from the school. So what do you have left? You have left that all of these messages of the leftist propaganda are the only ones to survive the test of the school norms for clothing. Because precisely this depolitization that you do of those symbols is allowing them to pass under the radar. And you end up being, from being non-political in your claim, you end up really with the only politics that will survive in the children's world, which is the politics of diversity, acceptance, anti-natalism, and racial diversity. Rudy Lassid says, if the shirt had a swastika on it, can you use the same argument? It's just a shirt, bro. Exactly. Thank you.